Easy does it. Your cool guide to investing.
A 50 rand might not be enough for a Big Mac, but if you keep it in an investment over a period of 18 years, it might just be worth quite a lot more than just a Big Mac. So the little that you have would go a long way. Investing doesn't have to be difficult and it doesn't have to be expensive.
Welcome to Easy Does It, a podcast by Easy Equities, where we simplify money and investing. No jargon, no complications. Your cool guide to investing. Easy.
Welcome back to the Easy Does It podcast. I'm Carly Esterhazen, the VP of Brand at Easy Equities, and I'm joined by Ntombi and Justin, my colleagues at Easy Equities. We're talking all things investing for your kids, and this is part two. I mean, we've spoken a bit about it already, but what are you kind of hoping that they do with the money that you set aside for them? Like, do you have a plan? Like, are you going to use that for education? Are you hoping that maybe they'll be able to start their own business one day? Like, if you could kind of lay the plan for them, how would you set the course?
So education is still important in my view, right? So I'd really like them to further their studies after matric and not just leave it at that. But also I want them to know that should they want to, you know, start a business or venture out into something, they've got the means to. So there's like different little parts. So if you decide to continue, here's a little part that we can dip into to pay for your tuition fees. But if you don't want to continue, if you've got an idea and you're sure this idea would work, because it's never the same journey for all of us, right? So here's a little something that might help give you a kickstart, you know, into your future. But I think what was important for me was don't save everything for education. Have a little extra, because even if it's finishes, let's say for instance he completes his degree, when he finishes his degree, I don't want him to start from zero like I did. You know, I want him to have something and, you know, then build up from that when he starts earning his own money. So that was the most important thing for me. I mean, for us, as soon as you started working, you had to get your own place, you had to get this, and you had sort of, you didn't have deposits for those kind of things. And then you started going around getting debt and, you know, then quickly gets out of control. So if I could delay them doing that, then, you know, all the better. At least you'll have a little bit of something. If you go into your new place, you already have a little something for your couch, for your TV, you know, so that does not have to come from your first salary or come from debt.
And you just?
I'm not entirely sure. I haven't thought it out that much. I mean, we're not investing for them in accounts outside of accounts that actually belong to them. So the two accounts, the way we're doing it is very much an Easy Equities account in each of their respective names with their ID numbers. And legally, I think when they turn 18, those accounts are effectively theirs. So the challenge to some extent, and I haven't looked at it, although I suppose I've got only a year suddenly, sure, before Saskia turns 18. And then I need to give it some consideration around maybe some element of protection, because 18 is definitely, you know, too young an age, I think, to have a pot of money available to you, and obviously dependent on what it is she wants to do. She has, as I mentioned, she's quite bright, and she has mentioned to my anxiety is potentially studying overseas, which I know to be a crazily expensive venture. So thankfully recently she said she would do a study here initially and then maybe do a postgrad, which might only be a year overseas. But in that case, that might be a decision that she has to make as to whether she wants to dip into those funds or might likely be using all of them to study. But ideally, I think if I could script it and seeing, which when we go into the details, Saskia is starting to understand it, Gabby's still too young, but what that the current amount could represent when they are at the age of sort of 50 or 40, with these extra, what would it be, 22 to 32 years of compounding on the current amount, then it's a decidedly more enticing and exciting thing to look at, rather than pulling it out and sort of, as I say, squandering that capital base, but just removing such a good base on that will grow to the extent that it will. So I'm thinking of trying to sort of maybe work in some protection that says, you know, if you only access it at this age or that age. The other thing, I suppose, as a dad, I'm somewhat fearful of is, as a young woman, if, you know, if she got together with a not fantastic partner and the funds were used for something that was then squandered or something like that. So I think some element of protectionism, maybe there's a plan to have access to some but keep some stored away for both, for her protection and her partner's protection, just so there's something there to fall back on. I think it's nice. It would make me feel much more comfortable. But yeah, I haven't quite worked it out. And I think to go back to the initial thing is just to start, is don't, you know, if you plan too much about what the eventual thing is, you might never start because you're trying to be too clever about how you structure it. And I could doubtless have done better things along the way, but then I might not have started. And I did start almost kind of 9 years ago when I started Easy Equities, just because it made such sense. So had I not joined Easy Equities, it would have been it's unlikely that I would have taken the strategy of creating their own accounts and just chipping away at it, which has now put us in this, what I think is a fantastic position for them both. And so yeah, part of the message there is don't wait. You know, you've already opened one for Marley. As soon as you get issued an ID number, you can open one, and then just start putting in what you can. And it's you know, that growth over all those years and that tax saving if you're in a TFSA and all of that stuff just works so beautifully, harmoniously together. It really does.
No, you don't have to have it all figured out. Just start, no. You know, and see how you go. So I think a lot of people who are listening to this, parents or soon to be parents, I guess they want to know, what is your strategy in terms of financially securing your future for your kids? So are you just investing? Do you have an emergency fund? And if you are investing, what's your strategy there? How are you going about it? Justin, I know you're a TFSA fan like I am. I want to know, what kind of things are you investing in? Why would you choose those kind of things? And Tombi, you too. Like, what has your strategy been in the investment space? And how much are you putting away? Like, are you putting away lump sums? Are you doing a little bit every month? Like, how are you handling it?
Okay, so I think for me, like I said, every now and then when I'm short, I need to be able to dip in to cover some of the, you know, some of the things. So I've got a little bit of money market for both. And that's sort of like an emergency. Right, should I need it, I try not to dip into it, but should I need it for things that concern them, then I've got that available. But TFSA for me is also just the best if you really think about the amount of growth that they're then gonna earn on their investments over the years.
For people who are listening who don't know what a TFSA is, it's a tax-free savings account. And a tax-free savings account allows you to invest up to 36,000 rand a year or 500,000 rand over a lifetime, completely tax-free. So when you invest, you pay tax. But if you invest in a tax-free savings account, you don't pay tax on any sort of capital gains. So, you know, if the value of your investment increases, you don't pay tax on, you know, dividends and interest or anything like that. It's completely tax-free. And it might not sound like a big deal, but when you actually look at that over the course of a lifetime, how much money you save, It's quite mind-blowing. So that's why a lot of the conversation today is on tax-free savings accounts at TFSA.
Yeah, so but for me, it's a little bit difficult to max out TFSAs for all three of us in a year. So like I said, I don't really have a set debit order, but I try and put away at least 500 each. And if I've got an extra 50 here and there, then I can always throw it in. Like I said, with Easy, it's nicer because you don't have any minimum deposit amounts. So whenever I have a little bit of extra, I'll throw it in. One of the products that have sort of been doing amazingly for me is the MSCI funds, so sort of like your global ETFs. I try not to put a lot of it in equities, but I do have equities because at least they still have more years, you know, to ride the volatility. But I always try and do like your ETFs mostly.
And an ETF is an exchange traded fund. For those who aren't familiar with ETFs, essentially it's like you can invest in a bunch of shares that are grouped by a theme, in one transaction. That's the most simplistic way I could put it. Exchange traded funds track an index. So industry specific themes like the fintech industry, or you know, you can invest in offshore ETFs, which is, you could invest in the S&P 500, which is the top 500 companies in the US. So they're quite handy in that they're low cost and they give you immediate diversification all in one transaction, which is really nice. And they're available to invest in a tax-free savings account. You can't invest in single stocks in a tax-free savings account, but you can invest in what are called collective investment schemes, which is ETFs, unit trusts, bundles, which are managed portfolios, and even now government bonds, actually, which we've just introduced on the platform as well. So that's very nice. So you're an MSCI World kind of gal.
Yeah, it's been doing very well for me so far. So I try and get them as much into that as I can on the TFSA. But yeah, we have like equities here and there, not really USD instruments or any of the offshore instruments for now, but with the 18-year-old, we're soon about to start that. So I've been having that conversation with him now, because I'm gonna have to hand over his investment over to him when he turns 18. But I've been starting those conversations, you know, chatting about what to look out for, what to get into. So I'm really excited for him to get into that international market as well.
And of course, that's another level of diversification, because if they've got a portfolio that has both local stocks and ETFs and also offshore stocks and ETFs, they also get the sort of hedging against the currency fluctuations as well, which is really nice. The MSCI World is essentially buying the world. It's the top companies in the world, which is why I think it's such a popular ETF or theme. Do you have any MSCI World in your kids' portfolios, Justin?
Yes, I think I absolutely do. Yeah, and that's brilliant. And Tom's, I love the way you have money market there. I don't have an emergency fund, but you've got me thinking about that. That's something a bit dwarf. What we did, funny enough, I'm a big Discovery fan, and the way they've gamified the combination of all of their different products and the bank to get like the top status of the bank, you have to have a certain amount of emergency fund. So in a sort of inadvertently to get the top points there, I created this emergency fund, which everyone had always told me about. You have to have, you know, cash or funds available that you can access without having to sell off assets or other things, that it's there and available. And so the money market, I think that Tom's refers to there, is we've got money market ETFs available on the platform, which are, you can buy and sell on any day, so you've got immediate access, and they offer really competitive, it's not, I don't think you call them interest rates with a money market fund, but they're akin or very similar to the rates that you'd get in bank accounts, where you might have to put it away for a longer term and not have as easy access to it. So that's a great way. I really like that. And the other thing, so I am very much, I am Mr. TFSA and ETF boy, man, whatever you want to call me, I just think the combination, as I said, at the time that I started at Easy Equities and the government announced the TFSA and you read about it and you're like, oh my goodness, that is phenomenal, no capital gains, which, just to explain, like that is the most staggering element. So you don't pay dividends withholding tax, which you would normally, which is one element. And there's a securities transfer tax, but those are fairly small, although again, compounded over many years, they add up to a lot. But the main thing there is capital gains tax, because if what that you pay on the appreciation on the value of the value of an asset. So if over 40, 50 years, the examples I was talking about earlier for my daughters, let's say hypothetically, we magically, that the end of goal amount ended up to be worth 50 million rand, let's say, if we were very fortunate. The capital gains ordinarily on that amount could be as much as 40%, and would likely be, because they would be connected to the person's tax rate. And so where you would see you have maybe 50 million in your investment account, when you actually come to withdraw it, the government says, actually, thank you, I would like 24 million of that, or what does 40 represent out of 50? 20 million out of that 50 million. And so now you just, can you imagine the gut punch that that gives you at that time? Instead, in the tax-free savings account with zero capital gains tax, that amount that you create over all, over that long hard work that you've done, is that amount. You withdraw it, it is intact, there is no capital gains tax applied. That is phenomenal, and that is the craziness of that spreadsheet and the calculations that Carly and I were explaining earlier, where you can't wrap your head around it really. And the last thing you want to do is the tax to erode that. So TFSA for me was like a no-brainer. And then the beauty about it as well is that within a TFSA, the one thing I'd always battled with investing was like, what stocks do you pick? And so that's really, really difficult. And I had lots of clever mates. One guy actually did incredibly well. He was the CFO of a company that sold, and I think he made a hell of a lot of money. He dedicated about 5 years of his life to trading. And he was a very bright guy, and I saw him on a beach in Cape Town 1 year, whatever, and I said, hey, how's it going? And he said, I must tell you that after 5 years of trading, I don't know, like it's a mug's game. Like you know, you make a hell of a lot of money on one sale and then you lose it all on the next. And this constant psychological stress of trying to determine when ideally you should buy and sell shares, like it's such a hectic thing. But in a TFSA account, you are limited to only buying ETFs because the government has to make sure that it's a safer environment for you than as safe an environment as it could be, because what they're trying to do is eliminate a burden on them for paying for you in retirement. So they're trying to incentivize us with a tax saving to save on our own so that we don't rely on the government. So it's very clever, it's been done all around the world. And so in limiting you to picking exchange traded funds only, when I buy
unit trusts.
Or unit trusts, when I buy one of those things, I'm investing, instead of, even though it's one share, I'm getting all of the different companies within that little fund or collection. So if I buy the Satrix 40, I'm investing in the top 40 shares on the JSE. And so if you had an African bank or Steinhoff catastrophic event over the last few years, and there were some people that were in Steinhoff only because they thought it was a magical share, you could have lost everything that you'd ever worked hard at saving for. Instead, Steinhoff was one share in the Satrix 40. So although it made it go down, it's not the end of the world, and the performance of the other 39 shares all even it out. So the combination of that just made sense to me. And I read the John Bogle, who's the guy who actually created ETFs, and Anthony Robbins, their books, they all talked about this notion of time in the market, not timing the market. And timing the market is trying to buy and sell shares and make a quick buck. Time in the market is an investment strategy over a long period of time where you pick some good shares and you let the effects of compounding grow that into a magical amount. And so my mum and my brother phone me and say, oh, we bought Renogen and they've discovered helium and it's rare and we like up 30%, and like, do you think we should sell? And I'm like, I don't know and I don't care. And they go, what do you mean? You're in the industry. And I go, I genuinely don't care. Or if they phone me and go, what's happening with Purple Group? And I'm like, I don't really know. Why? What's happened? Oh, the share price has gone down 10% today. And I'm like, I don't really care, because I believe it will come right. And I've kind of psychologically like shelved that bit. And in a similar vein, within my kids' portfolios, I've got 6 or 7 different ETFs, and I've got an American one. The beauty of this as well, sorry, is that with the Satrix suite has increased over the last 5, 6, 7 odd years to include international ETFs, where they piggyback off an ETF that's listed in the US. So there's an S&P 500 and a NASDAQ where you're accessing US shares, but you're investing in RANDs, but you can do that within your TFSA. So although miners can't invest in US shares, in buying the NASDAQ or the S&P 500 in my daughter's TFSA accounts, I'm effectively investing there. And in Ntombi's example, buying World, I'm investing in World shares, and there's an emerging markets, and there is a variety of amazing ETFs. So I buy them and I just put my money in there, as I say, and I forget, and every 2, 3, 6 months to a year, I look at it and I have a big smile on my face, because it didn't drain me psychologically in terms of anxiety around buying or selling. And I know that they're there and they're in the market, and those things are appreciating in value, and that effect of compounding is working magically as I should. And that's That's about it for me, Carl. It's super simple. I think some people look at me and think it's overly simplistic and I maybe don't give it enough care. But the more I've read and the more that I've watched it happen and work for me, the more I'm convinced that I'm doing the right thing, and it's worked so far.
And I think there's a lot to be said about ETFs. If I look at my own personal portfolio, my tax-free savings account, which is only ETFs and maybe a couple of unit trusts, and I think I've got one bundle in there, one managed bundle, has outperformed all of my other accounts, including my USD account, which, you know, has got shares like Tesla and Nvidia and all these like really famous kind of shares. It's consistently outperformed all of those shares, which is interesting. It just shows you like there's power in that diversification, and there's some really, really strong ETFs out there. I mean, there's the Signia Fourth Industrial Revolution, which really looks at like tech stuff. There's this really cool kind of themes that you can build a little portfolio around. So yeah, that's definitely going to be my strategy as well. Though there is something to be said about a bit of a satellite approach, where you have your sort of core portfolio in a TFSA with ETFs, and then a layer above that, maybe some equities. And that's purely what I'm thinking about, because kids are so young and they have so much time that they can afford to take that little bit of extra risk. You know, equities are, or single stocks are seen as more risky because they're single, they're not a diversified product. But they can afford to ride those ups and downs out because they just have so much time to do so.
Yeah.
So there could be something in, or property even as well. I mean, Easy Properties has some great options there, and diversifying by asset class in your kids' portfolio is also something to consider in terms of getting them some property.
Yeah, I think just as a learning element as well, I think there's potentially more learning around buying individual shares and working it out. And I think some people are don't mind and are excited about it. I mean, my mum loves the fact that she invests, and I think she's got a bigger, like a much more secure element to her portfolio. But she loves to buy shares and ask people and have a little bit of a go at something. My personal predisposition is just to, you know, when I hear them and sometimes them calling, when they call me and say, you know, I've made this much, should I buy now or should I sell? And I have no idea whether they should, and I don't have an idea really as to what they should analyze in order to make that determination. I hazard a guess, I've challenged my mum to it, that through all the time that she spent sometimes in wondering whether she should buy or sell, and all of that time, that if she calculated how much she had made on all that activity, whether I might not have made the same amount at the end of a year without having done anything and applied any mental bandwidth to that whole process. Yeah. But yeah, some make a hell of a lot of money through those things. I mean, you get the stories around, certainly around those tech shares, for example.
Well, I suppose it's all, you know, it comes down to your personal risk appetite, your time horizon, your style, you know, how much sleep you're willing to lose or not lose. It's all like an individual choice. So guys, I think we're going to start wrapping things up. I thought in closing, what we could do is just give one piece of golden advice to parents, new parents, parents that are going to be parents soon. What is your one piece of advice to give people investing for their kids?
A 50 Rand might not be enough for a Big Mac, but if you keep it in an investment over a period of 18 years, it might just be worth quite a lot more than just a Big Mac. So the little that you have would go a long way. Investing doesn't have to be difficult and it doesn't have to be expensive.
Ooh, I like that. Justin, what do you say?
Fantastic example, Toms. We were trying to have this discussion with Gabby on the way home from school today. Actually, we went to watch her finish a gala, and there's a game called Toka Boka, which is seems to be popular with her mates, where it's like a virtual like house, and you it's got in-app purchases, which you know, makes you super anxious, but because they buy this, get this app, and then it's, Dad, can I buy a house and some furniture and everything? And it's all virtual, and I try not to be too much of a grinchy dad. And I suppose later on when Nina gave me some examples of other things you could liken it to, it made me seem that I was being particularly grinchy. But it was this idea of spending 50 rand on adding some virtual furniture to a little game that's, and trying to explain to her again, like, what money means. And yeah, I think Tom's nailed it, and I don't think there's any point in really going much further. I think it was one of the things that that really encouraged Charles to start Easy Equities, or rather after he had started, that story he tells of his son wanting to upgrade his phone from whatever phone it was to the newer version, and him sending him away and saying, okay, what does the phone cost? And Tristan telling him, and then him saying, well, go and calculate what the value of that amount that you're wanting to spend now will be worth in like 20 years if you invested it at a fairly conservative 10% per year, whatever. And Tristan came back and he didn't believe in maths, and Charles checked it and he said, no, I think it's correct. And Tristan checked it again and he still didn't believe it. And then Charles, that they proved definitively that that was the amount, and Tristan opted not to upgrade the phone as a result of him realizing what the value of that amount that he thought fairly trivial would be at the end of that period. And so the idea is, get involved as soon as possible with as little as you feel comfortable with, because it's the learning along the way. The learning takes a little bit longer, but don't try and learn everything without being invested. Do it at the same time. Make a little achievable goal. If you haven't read James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, I would encourage you to do so. But it's this idea of adding these tiny incremental things that are really, really achievable. And then once you're doing that thing, you can't help but increase the amount that you're saving each month, increase the amount of time you're spending on reading or learning about that topic. It just becomes, you know, like really viral and exciting to you, and things just get better and better. So really dive in, commit to a goal of like reading one blog post a month, even just to make it super easy, or reading a book in a year on investing. And just get involved, and you'll see how enjoyable, once you have a greater command over your money, how much better and more comfortable you feel about it.
Well, my closing remark is that setting up an Easy Equities account for your kid is so easy. I did mine yesterday in the space of a couple of minutes. I think it took me 4 minutes to set up an account. All you need to do is have an Easy Equities account yourself as a parent. Navigate to the top right profile menu in your account and say, add an account for my kid. And it takes you through a few really simple steps. It'll get your account set up, and from there you can start contributing to your child's investments little by little, and investing in all of these things we've talked about today, if that's what you want to do. So guys, go for it. You've got lots of great pieces of advice and guidance from this chat today. Yeah, and all the best. Thank you, guys. Thanks for the chat, Justin and Tombi. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Coles. It was great hanging out. Thanks, and Tombi. It was lekker.
Thank you, Carly.
Thank you for pressing play on the Easy Does It podcast. A big shout out to you for hanging out with us. Don't forget to subscribe. We are on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you think of this episode on Twitter and Insta. Our handle is @EasyEquities.